Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today, we are once again going to be searching for some creepy and unknown cryptid creatures. These subscribers sent in what they claim to be their experience with these alleged creatures. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be an encounter with a cryptid or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, we read stories about all kinds of cryptids out there, and these ones will surely be no different, and will definitely be diverse and creepy. But my question before we get into these stories, what is your favorite cryptid? Which one do you want to hear more about? Please let me know in the comments down below. Be sure to hit that like button, subscribe, and get ready for some creepy stories. I live in a small house near some woods where strange noises are pretty standard. One day I was all alone with my girlfriend. We were watching some movies when we heard something strange coming from the woods. We quickly paused the movie to listen to the sound outside. I initially didn't think much of it at first. We live in the woods and, like I said before, strange noises are pretty common here. That was until the noise continued getting louder. I told my girlfriend to wait while I go look through the kitchen window. Unfortunately, I couldn't see anything, so I grabbed a flashlight and went outside. I know, that is always the wise choice, right? Stepping out, I hear a soft whisper calling for help. I call out, and as I do, I hear the same voice again. Curious, I continued following the sound of the voice until I saw someone laying halfway out of a tree. I stepped closer, and when I finally arrived to the source of the sound, I almost threw up. There was this... I don't even know how to describe it. This creature of sorts. It almost looked like it was a half-man, half-deer. Terrified and disgusted, I looked frantically around when I see glowing eyes peering out from a tree. Freaking out, I think, is there another one there? I point the light at it, but... as I do this, I hear an ear-piercing growl. Honestly, at this point, I was frozen in my steps, until I snapped out of it and ran towards the house. As I busted through the door, my girlfriend looked worried. I told her to turn off all the lights and to lock all the doors. After we did, I looked out the window one last time and saw a creature I've never seen before, standing and staring at me with those same glowing eyes I saw in the woods. My heart racing, I waited for my girlfriend, praying nothing ever came of this. I didn't want my girlfriend and I to turn up dead or in any way like what I have seen in other stories. Thankfully, after much hiding and praying, the strange creature eventually went back into the woods. To this day, I don't know what it was, but I've never seen it again. And I sure to hell hope I never see it again. So this isn't a long story, but this is exactly what happened from my recollection. So, me and my friends John, Steven, and Kilby went to play airsoft. Since we are lazy, we decided to play it at my friend Steven's house. Behind his house, he has a huge forest. We always played airsoft in his backyard. The area we play airsoft in is near a big line of power lines. It has two sets of woods on either side of it, and a hill on the edge. The area is also boxed in by cow fences. The area right under the power lines was perfectly flat with no grass. We started at about 4 o'clock-ish. We played about 3 or 4 battles until it started to get dark. Since we aren't easily scared, we continued to play for about 30 minutes until it was pitch black. I was deep in the woods and my friends were on the hill shooting at me and my friend Steven for about 10 minutes, till my friend Steven finally got hit. So it was just me, Kilby, and John. I got very close to the ground so they couldn't see me. Then I got that weird feeling in my stomach. You know the feeling when you feel like you're being watched? At first, I ignored it. That's when the feeling got stronger. I stood up and turned around. I saw what looked like a 10-foot tree man. It had like a leaf-like face and 2 bright blue eyes. So at first, I thought, meh, it's just like a tree with holes in it or something. But then I realized it was dark out. So I turned back around and it was closer this time. It stepped forward and it had a huge smile. I then realized that it started looking at me. That's when its mouth opened. It was just horrible. I wish I could say I charged it, but I screamed like a girl and ran. I was screaming and trying to alert my friends. My friend Kilby is a very paranoid guy, so he provided covering fire and was yelling to me to run faster. We all ran and just continued running. I have never run so fast in my entire life, even until this day. My friend John turned around and unloaded his gun and screamed. We finally made it to Steven's house. We booked it into his house and locked the door. As we were in the house, we started hearing tapping and banging on the windows and doors. We shut off the lights and barricaded the doors. We played in the dark for about 45 more minutes. The noise stopped. We waited for another hour. A painstaking, horrifyingly long hour. I swore it felt like I had been up there for days. Then, we heard a knock at the door. We stayed quiet. Then my phone rang. It was my dad. I picked up and he said, "Son, will you please come open the door?" I went upstairs and opened the door. Sure enough, it was my father. I pulled him inside and closed the door. He looked at me and said it's time to go, so I grabbed my things and ran out the door and hopped into the car. My friends and I kept in contact the entire time, but nothing seemed to happen after this. My phone died, and when I got home, I charged it to make sure no messages were there. I only had one, and it was one of my friends saying, "Stop messing with me." But, of course, I wasn't there messing with them. I called him and he sounded pretty calm. He said it was probably just somebody messing with them and they just wanted to forget about it. But honestly, in the back of all of our minds, I think we know what it was. I know this seems silly, but it has had me terrified for many years. After hearing some of the stories on your channel, I got the courage to finally tell mine. I've never opened up about this and I've never told anyone. This happened a couple of years ago in mid-October in northern New Mexico. My brother and I went up to our ranch to do some coyote hunting, as we had just lost some calves to them. On the way, we picked up some fresh roadkill to help get the attention of the coyotes. We throw this dead rabbit in the middle of the field, and we sat in a high formation of rocks overlooking the property. We were sitting about arm's length away from each other but facing different directions. I was watching the north side, glancing through my scope to watch the tree line. My brother was watching the south end, and after about an hour of waiting, he tells me, "Look, something just spooked the cows. They're all running away." I turned to face the same direction and we both got prepared to shoot if it was a coyote. Once the cows cleared the area, the only thing to walk out of the tree line was this deer. This wasn't just any deer, though. It was a monster of a buck. The body and antlers on this thing were huge. It looked like a small elk. Other than the size, there was nothing abnormal about this deer. I have to guess we watched it for a few minutes grazing at least 250 yards away. I whispered to my brother to take a picture of this buck so we can show our friends, since we had a deer hunt coming up in the next few weeks, and this buck would make an amazing trophy. This is where it gets crazy. It was like the deer heard me whisper. He looked straight at both of us, holding the stare for a few seconds, and then it began to grow. While its body was changing and contorting, it let out this gut-wrenching roar that made my ears hurt. It felt like my heart had stopped. All of a sudden, this deer was now standing on its hind legs. I stayed in more shock when the deer started to yell. At first, it sounded like gibberish, just making weird sounds. But eventually, it started to almost sound like words. It was never distinguishable, though. It ran to the dead rabbit and grabbed it, while it cleared the whole property in just a mere second. There are several hundred acres of land, but that thing was out of sight in the blink of an eye. My brother and I sat there trying to figure out if we were going crazy or if we were just seeing things. We decide not to talk about it with anyone in fear of being laughed at or being accused of drinking or being on drugs, which honestly, we both don't do any of those things. Now, fast forward to our hunting trip. It was my brother, two friends, and myself. We took a camper to the ranch, and the first night, one of our friends kept seeing red eyes in one of the camper windows and said he could hear breathing next to the window while he was laying down. My brother and I pretended like it didn't happen and told our friend he was just excited for the hunt tomorrow, but we both had a freaked out look on our face and we were constantly checking out the window. Once the morning came, we split up in groups of two. My brother and a friend decided to take the public land a few miles away from the ranch, while our other friend and myself would circle the property. We returned to the camper with no luck, at around lunchtime. While we were cooking, I noticed my brother seemed a little nervous and was acting funny, and our friends just thought he was sick. Before we started eating, my brother asked if he could speak to me alone for a minute. We walk away and he started to tell me what happened after we split up. As the two drove away from the camper, our friend got out of the truck to open the gate. He told me that as he was waiting, he just happened to turn his head and saw antlers behind some bushes. That's when the thing stood up and my brother realized that it was the creature. Again, it was standing on its hind legs, and that it had smiled with fangs showing. He continued by saying that it didn't walk or talk during this encounter, but he could somehow hear its thoughts. He claimed the creature was able to communicate telepathically, and he was told that our land is cursed, and that our lives are in danger if we are not careful, because he would be hunting us and will kill us at the first opportunity it gets. Just by hearing my brother talk, you could hear the concern in his voice and it really shook him up. We both decided to leave that night. We just told our friends we got called in to work and we had to show up due to an emergency. We would have to use any excuse. We would have used any excuse to leave. It's been around 3 years since this happened. We haven't seen the creature, but we know it's still around. We have lost multiple cattle throughout the years and have been noticing that they have died in some really strange ways, like full-grown bulls hanging from trees or entire carcasses left but without a drop of blood. We obviously still go to the ranch, but we are all well-armed. Although, I have a feeling a bullet wouldn't kill this creature anyway. We just don't feel comfortable in the mountains anymore. I know it sounds crazy, but there really is strange things out there. This is my first time writing this story down, though I have many more I could tell you. This isn't my story, but a story told to all the kids on my holler to scare us into not going off on our own, especially on Halloween night. So, some details if you don't know what a holler is. It's the valley in between the mountains with lots of houses. You see, I live in West Virginia, where a lot of creepy things happen all the time. From ghosts to creature sightings to people just disappearing. In the 60s, there was a massive flood that killed a lot of people, so you can imagine the ghost activity around here. Anyway, the holler is long, with one bridge in or out, and yes, our roads are paved, but the road turns to a four-wheeler trail pretty quickly. Now, when this happened, which was in the 50s at the end of the holler, they had what everyone called a community gate, which was basically a fenced-in area that went halfway up the holler, and people brought their horses, cows, and pigs, etc. In the morning, they would bring them, and at night, they would have to take them home, and there was always someone watching them. But these two coal miners had to work late one night, so everyone took their animals home but the two men's cows. It was two cows and a calf. My dad would always get serious at this part and lean in closer to us kids and say it was pitch black because there were no lights, but the light of the coal lanterns they carry. When the men went to retrieve their animals, they were gone. They figured the cows wandered off, so they got their buddy and his horse, and they started riding up around the holler to try to find them. They made their way up, and soon they ran into the first cow, who was torn to pieces. Being experienced hunters like everyone around here, they knew no animals around here could have done this. It looked more like the killing of some sort of satanic sacrificial sports or something. They were enraged, maybe even rabid. So, they gripped their rifles tight and continued on to find the mama and her calf. They were almost to the end of the gate when the calf ran past them. They were still on their horses, and one man jumped off and readied his rifle. They inched closer when their horses started to buck and threw one man off. The other got down, and the horse went running off back to the front of the gate. One of the three lanterns was their only light due to the horses freaking out, and the man was thrown from the horse. He lost his gun. Scared to death, they were ready to go back, and that's when they heard a low, deep growl. It sounded like a panther, but they were rarely spotted this far down the mountains. They quickly turned to see red, glowing eyes staring at them with the body of a cow underneath it. The creature was hunched over, but you could easily tell that it was a large black mass. This was something neither of them had ever seen. It wasn't a bear or even a Bigfoot. It looked demonic. It just stared at them, seemingly forever. They were too frightened to move. Then, this thing smiled at them. It was an ear-to-ear type grin. It was almost like, I don't know if this makes sense, but if you've ever seen the smiling man's grin. One of the men finally snapped out of their shock and shot this creature. It made a god-awful, blood-curdling scream which made the other man shoot his gun. The creature ran up the mountain. It took them a while before they walked back down to the gate. They picked up the calf and horses and then went home. For the longest time, the three wouldn't speak a word. They just said they saw something that will haunt them to their last day. Eventually, one of them finally told this story. I'm not sure if people actually believe it, but it kind of turned into a legend around here. The older folks tell the kids to make them believe. The demon hauler will come and get them if they don't behave. I know, kind of brutal, right? Of course, as kids, we used to go up there and see how long the others would last till we got scared. We did it in our teens, and heck, we still do it as adults. We will tell the kids today the same story, and most likely they'll tell their kids. West Virginia is pretty known for being creepy.
Seeing a hellhound usually means bad luck, right? What if it was protecting you, though? So, this happened 7 years ago, yet I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a normal 7-year-old boy. My parents started moving, and our first trip was to a 2-story house in the forest. I kept feeling like something was following us as we drove, but I never saw anything. So, once we had gotten to the house, I ran inside. It was pretty much a normal day. That night I heard growling when my parents went to sleep. I slept on the second floor. I saw a large black wolfish creature. It was like the size of a polar bear. There was a white creature slightly larger than a wolf as well. And I think it might have been a wolf too, I'm not sure. There were many dogs and other mammals surrounding the house. The black wolf had its back to the house and it looked like it was in a defensive stance, like it was protecting us or something. So the white creature ran towards the black creature, causing the mammals to move closer to the house. The two creatures wrestled for a while, barking and growling as they fought. The black one had won.
as I was watching, the white creature ran away into the darkness followed by the army of mammals. The black creature turned around and stared right at me. It had glowing purple eyes. It nodded, turned around, and ran jumping over the trees, disappearing. I was scared and confused. The next morning I ran outside and saw ashes where the black wolf was standing, and more tracks with ashes in them in the direction it was running. The footprint stopped in the place it jumped. 5 years later, I found out what a hellhound was, and there was one protecting me. So my life has been pretty normal ever since, except outside during the night seeing that same hellhound guard the place I stay. It always nodded and ran away once it noticed me. I'm 14 years old now, and that creature, I still think about it all the time. What do you guys think about my story, though? I would like to recount this story from my childhood. When I must have been around 13 years old, on a New Year's night in the southern English countryside. I grew up surrounded by countryside, and was no stranger to being out late at night, alone or with my dog. I felt comfortable being outside at all times. After all, the English countryside is supposedly predator-free, from the occasional, you know, fox or badger, or a rutting deer. There was little to fear. I and my parents were visiting with my mother's parents who lived in a country house, surrounded by fields near a farm. It's a beautiful place full of lush greenery in rolling hills, and fields in every direction, broken up by thick hedge groves and small areas of woodland. A couple of my aunts and uncles were at the house, also along with my cousins visiting from Wales. They were all busy inside chatting away after having a big dinner. My best friend at the time had come along with us, and we had retreated back to the backyard to chat and do whatever young boys do when they're bored. It was pitch black across the fields, and the back of the yard, largely separated from the front by a thick hedge. Although to my side and behind where my friend was standing was a narrow pathway that led to the back sheds in the rest of the yard, which was fenced off from the farmer's fields. Sometimes, during the day, the farmer's dogs would run along the fence line barking and carrying on as farm dogs do. They were collies, a medium-sized and commonly kept farm dog. Energetic and intelligent, they made good sheepdogs. I and my friend were talking about some usual nonsense, and I was standing by the old concrete coal bins, kicking lumps of coal back into the pile. The country was very quiet, but since I had been there many times, I had little interest in what was going on around me and was concentrating only on what I was doing and the conversation we were having. Although the country around us was totally dark, we stood in the light of the kitchen window, lost in our own little world. My friend suddenly stopped and asked, "What was that?" I listened for a second and, after hearing a faint rumble, replied, "Must be a car." I continued kicking the coal back into the bin, watching it roll back down and kicking it back again, and carrying on with the conversation. My friend carried on also for a moment, but then stopped again and asked, "Did you hear that? What the heck is that?" I listened again half-heartedly, hearing a rumbling off in the distance, and replied impatiently, "It's just a car, you idiot." I shook my head and went back to kicking lumps of coal. Then the noise came again, but this time closer and louder. And I stopped, and my body went stiff. It was a deep, guttural growl, much too deep and loud to be any kind of dog, especially not one of the farmer's collies, which I had heard growl a few times before and mostly had a yapping-type bark. The growl came again, loud and threatening, and my friend and I looked at each other with that wide-eyed look of fear you might see in a horror movie, right before someone's head went rolling to the ground. That's when I looked behind my friend into the deep darkness between the hedge and the side of the house where the path was leading into the fenced-off backyard. I saw two huge glowing eyes. They were much lower than a man but much higher than a dog could have been and set too far apart to be a dog either. The pupil was slit like a cat and the irises were shimmering bright red. I do not recall seeing any other detail in that pitch blackness. I saw no nose, no whiskers, no part of the body, just those two huge red eyes hanging in the darkness. Without further hesitation, I ran inside, followed instantly by my friend, bumping into the back and struggling not to be left behind, for fear of what monster could be snatching us away. We burst through the door of the old country house and ran through the kitchen into the next room, slamming the doors behind us. We were terrified and out of breath, but I remember laughing and asking my friend, "What the hell was that?" Feeling bold in the comfort of the lighted house, we took to looking out the windows, but could not see anything. Whatever was out there had slunk back off into the darkness of the countryside. Due to the shape and color of the eyes and the deep guttural growl, we concluded it must have been some sort of big cat. It coincided with a recent story we had heard from kids at school who had recently been in the local newspaper with a similar story of seeing a big cat. These kinds of urban legends tend to go around in the quaint countryside of England, but you don't expect them to actually be true. In fact, I remember mocking the story, thinking they must have made the whole thing up. What bothers me to this day is the fact that it was not the pupil of those eyes that shone, as you have undoubtedly seen cats do. What bothers me to this day is the fact that it was not the pupil of those eyes that shone, as you have undoubtedly seen cats do, with that bright greenish hue as light shines across them. But it was the irises that shone in a deep blood red color. As far as I know, there are no big cats with slitted pupils. Even though, at night, it might change, they will still shine green. And they are round like a human. I tend to think this was some huge cat we had witnessed in the darkness that night. But those blood, red slitted eyes still haunt my imagination. And I do not take going out into the woods at night for granted any longer.
My family owns a lake house in North Georgia. We've had it as long as I've been alive, about 28 years now. It's off a secluded road in a small cove, and the neighbors only visit during the summer and spring seasons. Our lake house has been robbed before, as have our neighbors, and we didn't even know about it until weeks later. To put perspective into just how secluded this part of the lake is, for as long as I can remember, I've always had the most vivid nightmares and experiences at that lake house. Most of them including having a cryptid of some sort. I didn't know if these dreams had some real weight to them or not until a few years ago. I used to go up there before I moved out of my parents' house to blow off steam and spend some time alone and occasionally smoke. I always went in the off-season during fall or winter for that extra effect of complete seclusion. The lake house itself is two stories and down a large hill. The tin roof is a steep A-frame and impossible to climb, save for a small partition over the master bedroom itself. You can only access that by a ladder on the left side of the house to clean the gutters. The front of the house has two large floors-to-ceiling windows, facing the lake and leads out to a two-story deck over the water. If it wasn't for the seclusion, there would be little privacy due to these open windows. Not to mention at this time that there was no internet here and a cell phone signal was very limited unless you climbed to the top of the quarter mile long driveway. I believe this was about 4 years ago. I went up to the lake, sometime in late September, to work on writing my novel and to spend some time alone. It was a normal day, gloomy, misty, and the water in the cove was all still as glass. At night, I could hear the remaining crickets and tree frogs of the season chirping in the night. Just the way I loved it there. It was about 2 a.m. when I decided to go to sleep in the master bedroom. I'm a sound sleeper, but a loud bang on the tin roof above my head tore me out of my dream state, heart racing. It was like a gunshot on the tin above me. But I had heard that sound before, especially in storms. I assumed it was a large acorn striking the roof and calmed my nerves in order to fall back asleep. Then I heard the tin bend and wobble as if something large had stomped upon it, or landed for that matter. It was still for at least 5 minutes, long enough for me to attempt to rationalize what it could have been. I then noticed the chirping outside had stopped,
the metal warped again over my head. Something very large was moving across the roof. I could hear each dent in the tin. Another sound I can't quite describe mixing with the sound of the tin. If I didn't know any better, it sounded like hooves? I had never seen a deer at the lake house despite its seclusion, and for a hooved animal to reach that area of the roof would have been impossible since it was 8 feet off the ground. I laid absolutely still in bed, hardly breathing as I struggled to rationalize and swallow my fear. I always had a huge interest in the unknown and have experienced many strange happenings, some of the others which I will share in the future, but I always faced them and with interest and confidence, never an ounce of fear. I consider myself to have good survival instincts, and in this time, my instincts were shouting danger to me. The metallic sound of the tin roof being compressed from a large weight continued as it approached over my head, and then I heard scraping. It was like nails on a chalkboard. I regained the ability to move as my instincts told me to get out of there, and I moved in a slow motion as I slid out of bed and stepped on the floor, careful to not step on the creaking old floorboards and alert whatever was out there. I got on my hands and knees to crawl out of the bedroom into the main foyer, passing by the fireplace to do so. The sound was almost amplified as I crossed the open fireplace and chimney, and I think I heard growling. It was very low and didn't exactly sound threatening, more so like a purr of some sort or a trill, but it was like nothing I had ever heard before. I crawled between the sofa and the coffee table, attempting my best to avoid the large windows. The metal warped again, a loud sound as the metal popped into place as if the animal had jumped off. From the couch, I could see from the open kitchen and the clock over the stove that it was nearing 4 a.m. I waited until 20 minutes had passed and I didn't hear anything else. At that point, I had time to use my rational thought and remember the times we had been robbed, as had our neighbors. Knowing no animal could have reached the roof, I assumed it had to be a home invader that had climbed the ladder. I remembered my dad kept a BB gun in the tool closet on the other side of the lake house. My fear had left me, and all I was left with was adrenaline and a rage and instinct to protect my home. I got it from my hiding place and located the 20-year-old BB gun. The gun itself was rusted beyond belief, and I couldn't even load the damn thing. But it looked real, and that was all that mattered at this time. I gathered my courage and unlocked the door to the patio deck, and slowly creaked open the secondary storm door. Stepping out into the clear night, it was too quiet for my liking, but at least whatever it was seemed to be gone. I tiptoed barefoot to each side of the patio deck, peering over to my neighbor's dark homes and up the driveway. I used my phone flashlight to check my car in the driveway. No slashed tires or broken windows, thankfully. I turned off the flashlight and allowed my vision to adjust to the darkness before I gathered enough courage to raise the BB gun and slowly make my way down the dry, rotted patio stairs to the left wing of the house. The roofing above the master bedroom was empty. The ladder was still in place, and nothing was there. I was relieved and decided I needed to call it a night. The anxiety of the previous event wore me out. I walked back up the steps and went to re-enter the home when chills crept up my bare arms and hair was standing on end, a feeling paralyzing me in place as I suddenly felt like I was being watched. I held my breath. Inches away from the door, the large A-frame of the house towering above me, and I felt I needed to look up. I wish I didn't. As I backed up to get a better view of the steep A-frame, a black figure came into view, perched on top of the steep roof. A black, triangular head was attached to a large body, much bigger than any man I had ever seen. The purring or trilling noise returned, and my heart thumped wildly in my chest as my horrified gaze met a pair of glowing, yellow eyes. I whipped open the storm door and pushed my way into the house. I slammed the door, bolted the lock, and ran into the guest bedroom on the other side of the house.
the only one not having any windows. I shut the door and crawled into the lower bed of one of the bunk beds in the corner, clutching my phone and the BB gun to my chest. I don't even know how or when I managed to fall asleep. I woke up at 9 a.m., my neck aching and stiff from my awkward sleeping position of being huddled in the corner against the bunk bed post. I hardly remember why I had the BB gun, but when I did, the familiar chills and adrenaline struck me. I found a more comfortable position in the bed and laid for at least an hour, wide-eyed, wondering if there was still anything out there. I finally had enough balls to leave the bedroom. My walk through the hallway required me to approach the large windows. It was a sunny morning, and I could faintly hear birds chirping to my relief. I didn't need to go outside again to confirm that whatever it was had gone. I made myself breakfast and turned on the TV to watch a comedy movie on the VHS to calm myself even further. It was time to pack up and go back home, and I considered telling my parents about what had transpired last night, knowing the previous times I had told them about the lake monster I believe resided in our cove and the experience I thought I had with ghosts never went over well. So I decided to keep this story to myself, until now. This really happened, and it still gives me chills to think about. Before I left, I cleaned the house and loaded my car. I locked up the house and passed by the ladder on the slanted tin roof. I cleared the leaves from the rungs and climbed up the 8 foot and climbed on. The tin hardly caved under my feet. I weighed about 150 pounds at this time. As I examined the roof, there were no dents and no scratches. I was about to leave when I saw it. My heart clenched in a vice as I laid my eyes upon a large, muddy print on the edge of the side gutter, each the size of a breastplate, oblong, rounded, and each split down the middle in a pair of cloven hooves. I had told the story about encountering a possible cryptid on a 130-acre ranch while out hunting. Personally, I cannot say I know exactly what kind, though. Skinwalker, Wendigo, maybe something else. I do know exactly what happened when I went hunting for it a year later, though. Before I start, I would just like to warn those who think it's a good idea to go looking for these things. It is absolutely not. A year after my first encounter, almost to the day, I returned to my friend's 130-acre ranch. We will call my friend D, as in the last post. Since my first encounter with the towering humanoid figure, I was determined to find out what it was. I am the type of person that if something scares me, I tend to confront it so I will no longer be scared or just to prove to myself that I'm not a chicken. This was one of those moments. I arrived at the ranch around mid-afternoon, my bags full of ammo, and my trusty .30-06 and a .45 in hand. I told Dee about my plan to go hunting for this so-called Wendigo or whatever, and asked if he would like to go. Being his land, he was curious to see if there really was anything unusual happening on it. He believed I had seen something as we were good friends, and he had never seen me so shook up as I was after my first encounter. So we agreed to come along. We waited until about 3 a.m. to head out. Almost immediately, the spook factor was greatly increased as an extremely thick fog rolled in. Also, it was a supermoon, so between the fog and the supermoon, it was a perfect setting for a horror movie. We left the house which sits at the front of the land and made our way through the various pastures and trees looking for the main road that goes all the way from the front of the land to the back, past the thick forest to the left of the road. Keep in mind we had no flashlights. I know, stupid. I had previously seen this thing on my way to the woods, so we headed that way. It was extremely difficult to see the fog as it was so thick. You could barely see anything right in front of you, just silhouettes of cows and tree-like shadows passing by us as we walked. Suddenly I hear, "Help me!" I turn and can barely make out Dee laying on the ground, writhing in pain. I knelt down to ask what happened. He said,
I stepped in a cow track and twisted my ankle. I can't go any further. Being the awesome friend I am, I helped carry him all the way back to the house. Being incredibly brave, or stupid, I traded him my .30-06 for his 12-gauge loaded with buckshot and headed back out, alone, no flashlight. I got back to where I thought we were before, and continued on. I moved slowly because it was hard to see, and I did not want to end up like D. Shotgun loaded and ready to rock, I crept through the fog, taking a step, and pausing, listening before I take another. Suddenly I hear the sound of cows moving as a herd. They were moving away from me, fast, as though something spooked them. I assumed it was just me that spooked them, and I kept moving. Then I noticed the sound of the cows had faded fast and it was now dead silent. No crickets, frogs, owls, or any known creatures of the night. The quiet was almost deafening. Then I heard a voice. "Help me." I won't lie. I just about soiled myself. I heard it again and realized it was D. How did he get back out here? He couldn't walk as his ankle had swollen up 3 times its size and he didn't take the truck. I would have heard it or seen the headlights. I spun slowly in a 360-degree circle, scanning the milky darkness. "Help me." It came again, this time closer and followed by the smell of what I could only describe as rotting flesh. I noticed there was something off about Dee's voice, though. It sounded synthetic, like someone was trying to mimic his voice through a speaker, but couldn't get the tone right. It sounded more like a question than a demand. At this point, I was absolutely certain that whatever was lurking just outside my range of vision was not Dee. I pointed the shotgun in the direction I thought the last cry came from and pulled the trigger. The gun kicked and the sound echoed across the pasture, slowly dying out. I waited for a moment, nothing but quiet. Then I felt it, a rumbling that started in my feet, vibrating up my legs. Something heavy was running and impacting the ground hard. My first thought was, great, I'm gonna get stampeded by some cows. But this was no cow. From behind, I was hit hard, knocking me off my feet. I landed on my stomach but instantly rose again, just in time to see a black, dark figure disappearing into the fog. There was a pause, and then the rumble began again. This time, I could clearly hear what direction the sound was coming from. As it got closer, it braced for possible impact. I was expecting a mad cow or a big hog, but to my shock and dismay, that is not what I saw. This thing moved unbelievably fast, but I was able to make out a silhouette. It had to easily be 8 feet plus, ran on 2 legs, and had almost a skeletal body. It hit again, knocking me back about 3 feet onto my butt. I rolled onto my stomach and pointed the gun and fired. I must have hit this thing because it made a sound that caused me to drop my gun and cover my ears. It was that loud. The sound was like that of a squealing pig, a screaming woman, and nails on a chalkboard all coming from this thing at the same exact time. Without delay, I stood up and started to run. Ankles be damned, I made it back to the house. By then, Dee had already gone to bed and the house was quiet. I sat there until the sun came up in total shock. Did I survive a possible Wendigo attack or something else? My grandfather told me a story about he saw one of these cryptids face to face once. I never had heard such of a thing until long after he died. I was drinking with some friends and we were swapping creepy stories. My friend, who's native, then told me it was actually a legend amongst the tribes that she grew up around. My grandfather isn't native. We're Hispanic, but not of any direct native descent. And to my knowledge, he didn't have any native friends. So thinking back on the story he told me, I now think he was being truthful. This is what I remember. My grandfather used to be a grunt out in the oil fields, which means he basically does maintenance on the rigs and odd jobs. Well, his shift was overnight, and he said that it was already very lonely and eerie out there on a normal night. Out in the hills, in pitch darkness, the sounds of the rigs were super dissonant sounding. He said sometimes it sounded like babies crying, other times it sounded like someone was whispering his name. Just really creepy stuff. So one night he gets out of his truck and climbs up onto a rig. Like normal, when he stops because he's face to face with this thing. He said it resembled a bird, but it was a humanoid creature. It stood super tall, much taller than he was. Its whole body was covered in black feathers, and they were like square patterns. Its face was long and pointed, but it wasn't exactly a beak. Like, it was just part of its face. It was not hard, like that of a beak of a bird. Its eyes were bright red with massive pupils, and it just stood there staring at him. He said he was frozen, and so was it. They both just stood there, staring at each other. He said it felt like the thing was just as surprised by his presence as he was of it. And as he was trying to, you know, just get out of that situation. He caught it off guard, and it was just standing there, rigid with its arms. He couldn't tell if they were arms or wings, pressed firmly against its sides. After a few minutes, Grandpa regained control of his legs again and started to walk back down the rig's ladder, as slowly as possible. The thing seemingly stayed put, didn't move a muscle, and didn't blink. He said as soon as he touched the ground, he booked it back to his truck and got the heck out of there. This story always freaked me out. Like any other Latin grandpa, mine had countless stories about creatures and ghosts and stuff, but this one, I feel like this one was too weird to be made up. Years later, my friend basically confirmed that this thing is real. About 5 years ago, when I was in high school, we started seeing a cat with no tail around my girlfriend's house. It was strange, as I have read cats lose their balance without their tails. Regardless, this cat moved like any other cat I've ever seen, and he was always around. Around the same time, I started hearing weird noises in my backyard at night, and having frequent nightmares. One night, I finally decided to take a look at what was making those weird sounds. And what could it be but the tailless cat? Mind you, I lived 3 miles away from my girlfriend, and even if a cat's terrain spread that wide, what are the odds he would wind up in my house? One day, at school, a buddy, whose father is a pastor, was telling us about all the weird happenings in his dad's temple, and I told him about the cat. To my surprise, he told me he had also seen this cat. He lived at least 6 miles away from my house. I didn't believe him until he perfectly mimicked the sound the cat made outside my house. Now, myself and this guy had no relation, and the only things we had in common is that we were Hispanic high school students. So, we have a cat who covers an area of at least 10 miles, can move perfectly without a tail, and apparently only appears to Hispanics. Sure, this was weird, but what I will never forget is the last time I saw this supposed cat. My girlfriend and I were heading to her house after wrestling practice. It was dark out since practice ran late, and we decided to cut through some clinics to save time. I jumped down a little ledge and landed right in front of the cat. This was the first time I saw it up close. And I kid you not, this cat had the face of an old man. Just a cat body and an old man face. I didn't know anything about cryptids back then. But regardless, I was terrified. I ran to my girlfriend, grabbed her hand, and just booked it. I swear as we ran away, I heard those noises behind me. Now, years later, that image burned in my head. I have tried to research, and I think I may have found what it was. I think it was a skimwalker, a nahul, or a shapeshifter. Skimwalker, mostly since apparently whatever animal they turn into never have tails. I have also read that skinwalkers hate cats, so I don't know. Any input would be appreciated. Lord knows I would love some closure. And thank you, Swamp, for sharing my story on your show. Thanks for listening to these creepy, unexplainable cryptid encounters. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be running into any Nahuals, Skimwalkers, Wendigos, or anything of the sort. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the channel, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be an encounter with one of these Nahuals or Skimwalkers, or something completely different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. It's insane to think that we are at 150,000 swamp-dwelling creatures. When I first started this about 3 years ago, I never thought this would happen. Heck, I thought getting to 100k was impossible. I was happy with just 10k. But here we are, and I honestly couldn't be more thankful. Thank you guys so much. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is blank walls. Be sure to comment that down below to let me know that you made it all the way to the end, and to confuse anybody who didn't. It's always a ton of fun seeing people confused in the comments about what's happening, and I love seeing how creative you guys get with these code words. And if you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories and bring them anywhere you want, on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcasting platform you can find. I'll see you guys soon. Tally-ho.